I can remember when I got baptized. I got baptized in a creek down on Queens Mill Road, down in the southern part of Cobb County. We used to baptize in this creek, and it run off of a lake, and evidently they had drained the lake. And we got there, and the water was only about halfway between your knee and your foot. Of course, my daddy, being the kind of pastor he was, of course, my dad was a pastor at the time. We had about three or four candidates. Him and Brother Harley Kimmons, they got some shovels and some hose, and they said, "This is just sand. We're going to baptize anyway." And they dug a hole in that sand for us to get down in, and I got baptized in a hole they dug in the sand in a creek on Queens Mill Road. You know, up until really not all those years of my life, when we baptized, you did it outside. You did it whatever time of the year it was, and you didn't get to change till you got back home. And that water, it was dingy. You know, you had to keep your eyes closed, keep getting sand in your eyes. But I got baptized. You know, when I met the Lord, it changed my life. Some people don't want to meet the Lord because they don't want their life changed. But that's what God will do. If you got your Bible this morning, I want to read in Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to try to bring to you the thing that's on my heart. And this is something that God has had on my heart really for several weeks. And I have to admit, just like I do sometimes, I argue with God about what He wants me to preach. Because I knowing so much about this scripture, but I want to tell you what I'm going to preach about this morning, it'll affect everybody in this house. There's not a person in here, there's not a family in here that cannot relate to what I'm about to preach about. Now, at this church, the altars are always open. And if God speaks to your heart and you'd like to come pray, you are welcome to come pray. I was telling somebody earlier, I can remember preaching a revival. And of course, you know, nowadays you come to church, you got to watch the clock. You got to watch the clock because people got to be out here at a certain time. I remember going to preach in revival, started at 7:30. At 10 minutes till 9, they invited me up to preach. Okay, I had a message with 17 points. I was preaching about the fruits of the flesh. I started preaching, and during the middle of the message, a girl came down and got saved while I was preaching. I couldn't stop. I was going. God didn't want me to stop. I just kept on preaching. Well, the altar was full. They got up. You know, we got done. The altar was full again. We looked around. It was 11 o'clock. Now, people don't go to church like that anymore. People don't want God to impact their lives as much as they used to anymore. But I want to tell you something. If your life's ever going to be changed, it's going to be changed because you allow God in. And when you allow Him in, you get out of the way and say, "God, have your way." That's what God wants to do. That's what God still does. Now, the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son is what we're going to read about. You know, the Bible calls it the lost son. But I want you to think about this as we read it. Here's what we're going to preach on this morning is dealing with a prodigal. You got three characters in this story that are primary. You got the son that is the prodigal. Then you have the father. And then you have the other brother or the other son. Can't help but talk about all of them. But what I want to preach about is dealing with a prodigal. You know, I heard a preacher say one time he taught a Sunday school class. He was pastor of a church, but he also taught an adult Bible class. And he had someone put a suggestion in the suggestion box because this is what he taught out of. He said, "What do you do when your son is already in the hog pen?" Okay? And he taught on that. And then he taught on one how to keep him from going to the hog pen. Well, that's why we have church. That's why we have, and I want to tell you something. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, Brother Allen did a fantastic job preaching to our youth. Now, I can remember telling him when I was talking to him about being, you know, youth pastor, I said, "When you preach to them, preach to them." Now, I want to tell you something, and I feel this way. Anybody that's got a cell phone, cable TV, and the internet, there's nothing they don't know about, okay? So you don't have to worry about, well, you know, you can't preach too hard to them. Well, I want to tell you something. Preach to them. Because we want them to follow God. I don't want to get a call that one of our teenagers is up here at Pawnee County Hospital, Brother Tom, and they've got a hold of something they don't need to get a hold of. What people need is to get a hold of Jesus Christ and let Him move and be what He needs to be in their life. Okay, but sometimes it's unfortunate but true. And I want you to understand, I know this church. You can raise your kids the right way. You can love them. You can pour God on them. You can be there for them. It's not everybody that's out there doing drugs or doing it because their entire family died in a house fire. But there are some. It's not everybody out there that's on the street living homeless because they're just bums. Now, there are some. But there's some of them out there that are out there that way, and it don't matter what you do. It don't matter how many times you bail them out. It don't matter how many times you try to help them. You can cry. You can pray. You can seek God, and they go anyway. What do you do? I want to try to help you with that this morning. Let's look at Luke chapter number 15, verse 11, and I want to read this scripture. I know it's a lot of reading, but I want you to get something from the Word of God. Now, let me tell you, a preacher can get up and talk 30 minutes and never read the Bible. What's he talking about? Okay, let's look at the Word of God. It says, and he said, this is Christ speaking, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion or the inheritance of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now when he said his living, the father took and he gave it unto them. He gave it to both of them. It said them. Okay, but he gave to this younger boy, and here's what I want you to understand. Approximately, at least it could have been, a third of everything that the father had, he gave it to his son. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there was wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And said, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, of his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked them what things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now, that's all I'm going to read, but I want you to think about this for just a minute. And I want to talk about a prodigal and what a prodigal is. Okay, now, this is the story of the lost son, but I'll tell you, a prodigal is one who spends or gives lavishly or foolishly. Now, if you look at this young man, this younger son, he came to his father, and he said, divide to me the portion that belongeth to me. And I don't know if you've heard this before, but I've heard a lot of times young people, they want that money. And they come to, I've seen them go to their parents. I used to teach a big Sunday school class, had a bunch of young people in it. I've heard them talking about it. You know, I've been to my parents, I've been to my aunt, I've been to my grandpa. I'm trying to get them to give me my inheritance. Why do they want their inheritance? Because they want to spend it. That's why I had a guy tell me, he's talking about his daughter. You know, and this guy, he does well, the family does well. He said, I got it locked up so that if I die, she can't touch it until she does this, and she does this, and she does this. Why? Because sometimes, let's just be honest, too much too fast will ruin you, okay? I heard a guy preaching recently, and he was preaching at a graduation class, and he told the young people that were there, he said, delayed gratification is necessary for you to have a successful life. That's why sometimes people get married, and I didn't know this going this way. I'm a preacher. I'm going to try to move. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes people get married, the first thing they do, they got to have a house, they got to have a car, they got to have a new living room suit, they got to have a new bedroom suit. Before you know it, they got so much debt, everybody in the family can't help them enough for them to get bailed out. I mean, sometimes you got to take steps and get there. Well, here this young man is, giving him that money, it messed him up, okay? See, what is a prodigal? And I'll tell you what it is in this context. It's one who does not receive instruction. It is one who is wasteful and rebellious. It is one who acts in a foolish manner. And we can see where it took him. It is one who lives in sin. And one now, you take it a little farther, he lives like hell. What will you say? Well, that's a little strong. Well, let's just look at what's going on in the world today. You know why people don't like this kind of preaching? They don't holler amen? Because they're living this way. Now, this man was in trouble. The very last thing that a godly parent wants for his or her son is for them to rebel in this manner. You know, we want them to become, and this is all my heart's desire is. I've talked about it with my wife. I got a daughter, praise God, they're serving the Lord, they're active in their church. That's my heart's desire. They don't have to be living down the street from me doing what I want them to do. There comes a time when a father and a mother should remove themselves and let them grow up and be their own. They don't have to listen to me for instruction. They've got a God in heaven to answer to. That's why the Bible says that the man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his own wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. You know, my heart's desire for my boys is that they'd grow up. They would get an education, because in this day and time, I think it's very important. But you know, the most important thing is that they would live their lives for the honor and for the glory of God. Now, let me just tell you this. Success is not measured by how much is in your bank account. Success is measured by how well you fulfill the will of God for your life. That's why sometimes what happens when a person goes astray, they start praying for them. All of a sudden, if they're doing well, they're making money. It don't matter if they're living in sin. Parents are happy. Don't be happy until they're serving God. Amen. No one wants their children to become a prodigal. But let's consider, because I do believe it affects everybody in the house, consider the father of the prodigal son. Now, mother, I know the mother's there. She's in the background, and I heard this said, and I believe that it's true, that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. And I believe that to be true. But let's look at the father. What did he do? What did he not do? And in order to understand, as I begin to think about this, I want us to look at the things that the father of this prodigal did not do. And I believe you can support every one of these with a scripture that I just read. And here's very important about raising or dealing with a prodigal. First, number one thing is he did not blame God. He didn't blame God. You know, so many times when a child goes astray, here's what happens. People say, God, I cannot believe that you let this happen to me. I've been serving you. I've been trying to be faithful in church. I've worked in church. I've took them to Sunday school. I've done everything I know to do. God, I can't believe that you let this happen to me. But I want you to understand something. The father of this prodigal, I don't find anywhere in this scripture where he said that. I don't find anywhere that he acted that way. I don't find anywhere that he responded that way. You see, because the Bible teaches us in James chapter number 1, verse 13 and 14, it says this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know, I've had counseling sessions with people who had a son or a daughter that might have gone astray, and they're active in their church. They're teaching a Sunday school class, and I've heard comments like this. I just don't feel like that I can teach anymore, because look what's happened in my home. You know, sometimes you got to realize and you got to stop. They made their own decision. That's not you. It's not your fault. You've tried to do the right thing by them. Don't blame God. Don't quit on God. You see this father here? He didn't blame God. You see, it's not God's fault that the prodigal son went astray. You see, the scripture says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, when people blame God, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more in a minute, I'll tell you what happens. They can blame God because they've suffered a loss. They can blame God because there are problems. They can blame God because there are trials. I tell you what happens when you blame God. You're not far from quitting on God. You're not far from saying, well, if God, if this is what I get for serving the Lord, I'm just going to quit. Let me tell you something. You just keep right on keeping on. You keep serving God. You keep trusting God because what you do every day, it matters. Okay? It matters. Now, I want you to see the next thing because I know this is real and I know that I feel this. Sometimes I say this around here and people look at me. I say, I don't fear much. And I want to say something to you young people. Some of y'all are going to be going to college soon. Some of you guys, I remember when I was in the 10th grade, I had the most vile teacher that you could possibly have. I want to tell you one thing. Your pastor is not afraid of any professor that you go to college with. And if you got a paper that you need to write or you got research that you need to do, you need somebody that's got your back. I got your back because I'm not afraid. I know whom I have believed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But I'll tell you what will happen. Sometimes we get in a situation and fear will overwhelm us. Now, we played a song just a little bit ago that says, fear, he is a liar. Here's what I want you to understand. This father did not do. He did not allow fear to overwhelm him. Do you know that fear can overwhelm you? You know, there are times I tell my son, sometimes you give these teenagers phones and you say, I don't know why you give them a phone, they won't answer it. I found I'll try to call him, he won't pick it up, and I'll send him a text, and I'll say, call me now. But you know why I tell him this? He's 17 years old. He's almost going to be 18 his birthday, and he's a fine young man. But every time he leaves and he goes down the road, I say, son, text me when you get there. Son, text me when you leave. Son, let me know where you're at. You know why? Because in my heart, I'm concerned. I love him. Could you imagine if you, and here's what I say, can you imagine? But folks, I understand, I hurt with you. How many people in this house, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, right now, I don't know where my son's at. Right now, I don't know where my daughter's at. Right now, I don't know where my daddy's at. Some of them ain't seen their son, their daughter, their daddy for months, and we're in the house of God trying to serve him, and sometimes we sit here, and it overwhelms our minds, and it just comes all over us when we begin to think about it, the burden. He did not allow fear to overwhelm him, and I'll tell you why. He knew who his God was. He retained his integrity. And I thought about this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you know that sometimes the things of the world, they can come against us so much that they overwhelm us? You know, I sometimes you can have an absolutely sound mind, a clear mind, but the flesh, I want to tell you something, folks, the flesh is limited. You know, sometimes the stress of life can be so heavy, and I've experienced this myself. Now, y'all laugh. Y'all say, he's really stressful. Because when I was young, I was a teenager, I was going through something. I looked in the mirror, and my hair was coming out in clumps. Now I got older. I go down the road. I'm going hunting. I do this right here, and I got hair all over the dash. I want you to just turn loose. I'm tired of cleaning it up. Well, what would stress do to your body? Y'all know what psoriasis is? I tell you what it is, it's affected by the nervous system. It'll come over you, you'll get the, I can remember Brother Tommy getting these rashes. I know a lady right now that's had to take some time off of work. They said she's breaking out and she's itching. They say, I tell you exactly what it is, it's stress. And you're under so much stress that until you change some things, it's not going to get any better. You're not going to get any better. Let me tell you something. We can't control the body, but I tell you what we can control. We control the mind. And I'll tell you what's the most important thing that you can have, even in the midst of your storm, is maintain a right relationship with God. So that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, he didn't let fear overwhelm him. Well, how do you know this? You see, sometimes too many, they quit without looking at the others and the other things in their life. You know, I've seen people suffer a loss, and it could be a son that's off on drugs, or it could be somebody that's off in sin, or it could be even suffering the loss of a child. And they go curl up in a ball on the bed, and there's another one looking in the door, saying, "Mommy, when you going to get up? Mommy, when you going to fix me some breakfast? Daddy, when you going to help me with my school project?" You see, they're so overwhelmed and so knocked down by these other things that are going on in their life that they forget that there are others around them that need them. And can I tell you this morning, church that's suffering, church that has all the things going on in your life, thank you for coming to the house of God on Sunday morning. Thank you for working in Awana. Thank you for being here on Wednesday night when we have youth service. Thank you for being willing to serve at a wild game banquet, because the God that you serve, He's a real God. And those that are offered a way, they've chose to be there. And if we can help them, we would. But I cannot pour it into them. I've told Brother Tom Payne, I told him, we got Celebrate Recovery here on Monday night. Brother Tom, I wish I could do more. When I find out that one of ours is in the hospital, when I find out, like I did this past week, I get a call that there's somebody that's overdosed. Can I tell you, I'm tired of going to the hospital. I'm tired of looking at people that took too much cocaine. I'm tired of looking at people that put the drugs in their body and it's causing them to die. But I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to let fear overwhelm me. You know why? Because there are people coming that are getting help. Amen. There are people coming that are getting saved. You see, this man, he had another son. Another son, remember? You think, well, he had it all figured out. No, he didn't. He needed the leadership of his father. And he needed his father to be the man of God that he was supposed to be, because he needed leadership too. You know, sometimes what people think is, they say, well, he's the bad one because he's off in righteous living and he's devouring his living with harlots. I want to tell you something. The Bible teaches this, that if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all. And just because you're sitting here this morning doesn't mean there's nothing that God don't need to deal with in your life. See, he also had a wife. So many times we see these godly men. I'm the boss in my home. I'll tell you what you need to be in your home. You need to quit being the boss. And you need to start being the rock. See, if we'd be the rock, when the time comes, she'd know who the spiritual leader was. See, too many times we want to argue about the things that are not important and not stand where we're supposed to stand. If you'll be the rock, there'll be a time to be a lion, there'll be a time to be a lamb, and you need to know the difference. This man, he was the rock. You see, also he had servants. Remember, it's in the story. He had people who were depending on him. Sometimes, and I know that it's true, I don't like it, but it's still true, my boys watch me. They want to see how I'm going to respond. They want to see what I'm going to say. They want to see what I'm going to do. You know what it's like when you're riding down the road and, you know, you're just in the flesh and you want to back off and hit them at about 55 and knock them out of your way. I've even had Luke say, "Daddy, go around them." I've had them say stuff like, you know what I say? "You'll never drive." You know what I'm really thinking? You're right, son. But I can't. Somebody's watching you. And they're watching how you're going to deal with the situations and circumstances of your life. And every person in this house has got some type of situation or circumstance. Maybe this exact one. So what did he do? He didn't let fear overwhelm him. He kept his family and his own life. But I want you to look at something else. Approximately one-third of everything that he have could have been and possibly was given to that boy, and he went and wasted it on righteous living. I want my children to be successful, and I really, you know, sometimes I see people that aren't, they're not this way. I want my kids to have more than I got. You see, I want to get to the point that they're in their life and they're blessed and God is blessing them. But this man is took and given a third of everything. But guess what? When that boy come home, he still had the best robe waiting on him. He still had a ring left that he could put on his finger. the fatted calf was still there. And he still had a family and friends to make merry with him. Why? Because he did not allow this circumstance to cause him to lose his sanity. You see, sometimes people suffer, they go through a loss, and all of a sudden their whole life breaks down. And when the person that you're depending on has gone astray, they show back up needing help. You've collapsed to the extent you can't even help them. And the father, you know what he said? And I'm sure he feared. He said, fear is a liar. How do you know this? How do you know that he didn't let fear overwhelm him? And that goes to the next point. I'll tell you why. Because he did not lose hope. Well, how do you know that he didn't lose hope? Remember, when he saw that boy, he saw him coming from a long way off. See, what I think that he did, I think that every morning he went out on the porch. I think every afternoon he went out on the porch. And he looked out across there and he just kept looking. He just kept praying. He just kept seeking. He just kept trusting. He just kept asking God. He said, God, would you please just reach out there wherever he's at and get a hold of him. And it's all right to pray this, church. He said, God, would you just make that hob slop stink so bad and make it taste so bad that when he gets around it, he wants to come back where the good eating's at. You see, he knew that hog slop did not taste good. You see, the Bible says there isn't pleasure in sin for a season. But I want you to understand something. It will come to an end. It's going to stop. We played a song just a minute ago, and I believe the Father knew this. And it's very important for you and I to know this. The hand of God can reach farther down than we can reach up. We played a song that said God reached way below the bottom for me that night. You know, I've told Brother Tom and I told the members this, the men this, when I came to this church. I said, I'm excited that you have a Celebrate Recovery program. Because I have people in my family that I had prayed for, that I have reached out to, that I have tried to help. And you know, sometimes what God has to do is he has to send somebody else. And God sent somebody else to a member that I love, to a prodigal. And they invited him to a Celebrate Recovery program. And I'll tell you something, God reached way below the bottom that night, Brother Tom. Because God got a hold of them and they went down there. And I can remember this person telling me, they said, you know, when I went to that meeting, he said, I like it when it's like this. He said, I could not hardly wait for them to give the invitation because I wanted to go to that altar. You see, God knows that. If you've never read the book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbali, he's a pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and I don't recommend a lot of books because I hate to read. Read it. I'm just being honest. I'm not a reader. But in the book, he talks about this man, a pastor, serving God, trying to be what God wants him to be. He had a daughter that went astray. She was in the world. She was with people that he didn't want her around, and it was so heavy to his heart. He said, there was a time we were at church having a prayer meeting, and he said, here I am, the pastor, trying to lead the congregation in prayer. And he said, I'm so overwhelmed with a burden that I had for my daughter, I just couldn't help but break. And he said, people gathered around me, and we started to pray. And he said, the windows of heaven must have opened because God went to where she was at. Can I tell you, we've had phone calls in this church during church where somebody would say, what's going on over there? Because God came in my room. Amen. Amen. I like that. He said, the next morning, early, he said, the front door flew open. He said, my daughter fell in the kitchen floor. She said, I don't know what y'all were doing last night, but y'all were doing something because God knocked me out of my bed. You know, the Bible talks about the covers being too short and the bed being too narrow. Let me tell you something. We need to quit praying, God, don't do that. God, that's enough. And we need to accept the Holy Spirit and ask God to be in our midst. We need to love sound preaching. And we need to ask God to do what only God can do. You see, what if he'd have blamed God and said, I'm going to quit. But here's what he didn't do. He didn't quit. He did not quit serving God. Remember, what do people do when they blame God? They quit. Well, how do you know that he didn't quit? Well, think about it. Look at the story. When he looked and he saw this boy, he ran to him. And he demonstrated forgiveness. He demonstrated kindness. He demonstrated mercy. And he demonstrated love. You know, sometimes you can get so hurt that God has to do a work here before he can do a work there. Been there, done that. And the truth is, there's probably some here this morning that you know that if it weren't for the mercy of God, you don't even know where you'd be. Somebody's been kind to you. Somebody's loved you. You know, and I want to tell you something. We ought to get to the point that we can forgive ourselves. The devil wants you to remember everything. But if you don't have some repentance, some bowing down before a holy God and agreeing with God that sin is sin, you're never going to come out of it. Well, how did this boy ever come back home? I'll tell you what the scripture said. He came to himself. I've heard people try to say, well, if you do this, well, if you do that. Here's what it boils down to, and I was talking to a gentleman this week that is a drug agent, and he's involved with the task force, and I was talking to him about all the problems, and he started telling me, he said, until somebody gets to the point they won't help, you're not going to be able to help them. This boy came to himself. See, he was over there, and he was slopping with the hogs, and he was about to eat what they eat. He was so hungry, and he thought about it. They said, my father's servants have more than this. He said, I'm just going to go home and I'll be a servant. I'll just do whatever. I won't even ask to be a son anymore. I'll just be a servant. Some of you that have been around a while, you remember the apple tree song? Remember the song? The father, he got so vile and wicked that he rose up and he struck his father. And his father told him, he said, son, you're just getting so bad, you're going to have to leave. He said the boy left and he was away for a while. And you know what mamas and dads do? You can say, well, they're happy I'm gone. No, they're not. Their heart's broke. They're hurting. You know, they just wore out from trying to help somebody that won't ever do right. You know, I had a man tell me one time, Brother Tom, he said, he was retired. He had worked all his life and made a good living. He said, I have spent $360,000 trying to help my daughter get right. And he said, it's getting to the point that my wife and I don't know what we're going to do with the rest of our retirement. He said, I don't know what else to do. And the apple tree song, the man is standing out on the porch. And his son calls home. He says, Dad. Or he sends a letter, actually. He says, Dad, I've changed. My life's not what it used to be. And he said, I understand if you don't want me to come back home. He said, but, that old apple tree out in the backyard, he said, I'm going to be on the train coming through town this Friday. He said, if you'll just hang a white rag out there on the edge of that apple tree. He said, I'll get off the train, I'll come home. But if I don't see the rag hanging in the tree, I'll just keep on going and I'll understand. I believe that's where this boy was at. He said, I'll just be a servant. But in the story, and I know that this man did not quit serving God because of this, same story in the apple tree song. You know what they did? They tied white rags all over that tree. It looked like it was in full bloom. And then the mama and daddy, they got out there together and they held a sheet. Now folks, no man ever wants to be struck by his son. Especially when he's trying to love him and just trying to teach him right. You know what it's like? You reach out to him, you try to help him. I want to tell you something. You got to come to yourself or you'll never be changed. He didn't quit on God because all the characteristics of God are in him. You see, because he didn't lose his discernment. Remember this other son? Oh, he was the righteous one. He was so righteous, in fact, he didn't want nothing to do with his brother. He was so righteous, in fact, that he blamed his dad. But I tell you, that's when dad has to be a rock. You see, this father, when he saw this son coming, he saw him as this. He saw the dead as living again. I saw recently a Facebook post that had a gentleman that was standing out in the woods, and he's in camouflage. And he's just out there, and this is the way God, if you're saved, everywhere you go, God goes, okay? He's on the deer stand. He said, God got to dealing with me. God got to dealing with me about how I treat people that come up to me when I go downtown to eat. He said, let me tell you how I used to deal with them. He said, you know, I just reach in my pocket and pull my gun out and lay it right here. I said, yeah, what you want? You know, you can scare them away. Or you can buy them away. You know, you pull out a dollar and you say, all right, you know. He said, but God dealt with me. He said, I got to realizing and understanding that that right there, that's not a dope head. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's daddy. That used to be somebody's little boy that maybe got baptized when he was little, but he's in trouble today. He said, God began to convict my heart. And he said, as I sat there on the deer stand, he said, God began to renew in me a burden. He said, I can't wait now to go downtown so I can just get a hug. He said, I'm going to be looking for him. He said, I'm going to put my arm around him. He said, I'm going to tell him that God loves him. I'm going to tell him how important they are to Jesus Christ. He said, you can give them money. That ain't going to change them. But what did they say when they come to the gate and they saw the lame man there? They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You meet Jesus, it'll change your life. You know why people don't want to be around this kind of church, this kind of preaching? They don't want Jesus to change. Amen. See, the Father saw that the dead was living again. But I want you to see something else, and I'm going to ask him to come with a song. He didn't react harshly to the other son. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God is merciful to all of us. See, truth is, if you're guilty of one sin, the Word of God says you're guilty of all. About to be Thanksgiving, folks. Some of you are going to be around family you can't stand. Amen. Huh? Some of you are going to have to hide your pocketbooks. I tell you, my dad was a peacemaker. All of our lives, if there was ever an argument, he wasn't trying to figure out who was right or who was wrong. He said, you know what he'd say? He said, we family. We ought to love one another. We ought to forgive one another. He didn't look at his mature elder Christian son and say, you self-righteous hypocrite. But here's what he said. He said, son, he's come home. He was dead, but now he's alive. And in doing so, he wrapped his arms around both of them. There's some things he didn't do. What did he do? He prayed. Folks, these altars are always open. He kept watch. He kept his priorities in order, and he maintained a right relationship with God. And here's the question. When your prodigal comes to himself, are you going to be able to help him? Are you going to be ready to help him? I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. It's not just a prodigal person. Sometimes it's a situation. Something that's going on in your life or your home. It's heavy, it's overwhelming. Staying where you're supposed to be with God is the most important thing. And that starts on your knees. If you're here this morning and God spoke to you and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you can know Him. If you're here and you're saying, I'm just not ready to surrender, well, guess what? You never will. Until you get to the point that you're going to bow before God and let God be God, He's not going to have any other place in your life. But if you want to let Him be Lord, His arms are open wide right now. This church loves you. We'll pray with you. We believe that God still saves. Amen. Yes. Would you come as they sing?
Just just as